Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Great.
Good.
Yeah, we're all kind of dragging a little bit, particularly as we're settling into our new location. Thank you very much to the hospitality, the Neighborhood Church here in Adrian, for graciously hosting us during this time of transition when we finally move into our new permanent facility. Mark, you once again suggested a scripture we look at for this edition of Word Made Flesh. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. All right, would you like to go ahead and read that for us?
I would. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to him with a live coal in his hand, which he used, which was taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me."
Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you. All right. Initial responses, or you want to kick this off?
Yeah. Okay. It's like, I hear a lot of contemporary churches today, you know, when people, they see the glory of God, you know, that's it. Life is just fantastic now. now that Jesus died on the cross, I don't have to do any work. All I have to do is just be a really nice guy and believe that's why Jesus came. I just don't think so.
Well, then let me interrupt you there. How do you think it should be?
I think we need to put ourselves in a place where we earnestly seek God to the point that when we do encounter Him, we allow ourselves to be completely ruined by Him.
Okay. Because that's closer to what Isaiah is kind of experiencing here.
Yes.
That somehow or another, if we come into the awe presence of God, we are 110%, if there is such a thing, right, fully aware of our incompetency, our inadequacy. Mm-hmm. Right? We are nothing, which is really kind of precisely the position we need to be if we're going to, right, really accept, because that's what happens when you come into the presence of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So here is Isaiah's having this little vision of the heavenly courts, right? But go ahead.
Yeah, it's not only, you know, the ruining part from seeing God, it's also after that, that's the white hot coal. Just because you actually make the affirmation that you come to God and you trust in Jesus, that, you know, like, I'm really humble now. But, you know, you still need to get the white hot coal, which is Jesus, which is, and the people He puts in our lives holding up the mirror. It hurts to be exposed. But when you're exposed, you have nothing left to hide and you have nothing left to prove to anybody. And that's the absolute best place to be.
Why?
Because that's when you become authentic.
How so?
And that you no longer live for yourself at all.
All right, well, who are you living for?
God.
Because and the reason I ask this question is because I think that's exactly what this pericope says, that in the presence of God, we're stripped of everything. Particularly our sense of our competence. We see ourselves as, now, I'm incompetent. No, I'm inadequate. I can't do this. Right? I see the raw holiness of all this. It's precisely in that state where through humility, we come to the realization, God is what makes me competent. God is my competency. Another way of saying what you were saying. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, this is another one I like. All these 66 books in the Bible, people's encounters, experiences. I'll give you one of my two choices. You can make moves or make excuses. And like Moses to everybody, you can even say when Jesus was, like, everybody had excuses. I gotta go bury this, I gotta go do this. Even us, and today, like, we'll come up with our shortcomings, we'll come up with our reasons why we can't, or why we shouldn't, or why somebody else is more qualified. Once that mirror is exposed, once you see yourself truthfully, and for me, when I see the things that I might fall short, like, ah, I can't do this or that, and I start kind of doubting myself, those are things that need to be changed. So then your weaknesses become your strengths. Only because of God, only because that's where the consistency comes. That's where the, you know, when I say make moves and make excuses, we can, like, for years, we made excuses and went around things instead of going through things. So sometimes you just got to make the move. Like, here I am, I'll go, you know, use me, you know. Or we can make excuses, you know. I made excuses a lot of years and got me nowhere. And I always end up coming right back to where I started again. Are you going to make the move or are you going to go around it again, you know? So that's just one thing. Like, what's that old saying? Like, God uses crooked sticks to make straight lines. You look at all these guys and these men and women here, they weren't the most qualified. They weren't the best speakers. They weren't the strong, you know. But like you said, they stepped up and they were exposed, you know. And they could be used. So, I don't know.
Okay, anybody else? So kind of have this vision, right? Isaiah finds himself in the heavenly host. Right? You got these six winged seraphs flying around, singing the holy, holy, holy. Right? Everybody. He becomes fully aware of his inadequacy, his shortcomings, his incompetency. Right. Is there, they're talking about the holiness of God. I think everybody sitting around this table would then turn around and say, well, you know, if that was me too and I actually had that kind of level of encounter with God, I'd probably, you know, maybe defecate on myself or something and fall to my knees and all this other kind of stuff, right? I'd be awestruck and fully aware that I'm not worthy. Much like we find with God and Adam and Eve. Here in the presence of the Holy, isn't this, yes, you piece of crap, get out of here. No, it's, okay, Adam and Eve, where are you? Let me show you some compassion. Here's some clothes. Here's some boundaries set. Right, these are acts of compassion. And it's the same thing here. So in our recognition, because you can you really be cleansed of your sinfulness, right? If you believe you're without sin. Because that's kind of, now we're back to the Pharisaic encounters with Jesus. I came for the sick, not those who, right, think they're well. So they touch his lips. And then you kind of get this idea that God's having this conversation with these six-winged creatures. It's like, you know, we got a lot of work to do down there. Who do you think we ought to send? And by this time, Isaiah's like, well, they haven't killed me. I've survived being in the heavenlies. All right. I have this new sense of cleanse. You know, I haven't been, as you said, ruthlessly honest with myself. See myself truthfully. Hey, I'll go. You know, send me. I'm just little old me. Which then leads back to Isaiah's realization that his only sense of competency comes through God's competency. For me, this little story, this vision of Isaiah's, is really what we call spiritual formation in action. This is what we try to do here in our Life Change Program, Neighbors of Hope. How do we move from one state, one position to another in a certain direction? You know, how do we form our spirituality?
I think for me in the beginning, like, you know, you have our comments where, like, at the Blue House over there, and at first you're so gung-ho and it's all about, like, some altar call Billy Graham stuff. You want to go change the world, you know what I mean, like, gather. And I found later it's more, by having faith, what God can do in little old me, not about gathering masses or not. And that's how you make the impact and the difference. It starts with you, you know, believing that. Once you get past that, I'm not worthy, I've done this, I've done that, if you only knew what I did, you know, you get past that, and it's like, he can use me, I can be a vessel, I can be, you know, and the beautiful thing about that compassion shows, like, he could make us be whatever, you know, it's a choice, like, you know, I can use you or not, you know, it's up to you, it's like, so it's an invitation, I'll include you, but if not, you know, I'll see you next time, I'll get that robe on you and that gold ring on your finger, and I'll still fit in the calf, or, you know, we'll have a party, but I would like you to come, you know, mm-hmm. be part of this, you know. So it's always, he doesn't hold you down and make you take it, you know.
Well, and that's why I think it's interesting, you know, God's talking to these six-winged cherub and says, hey, we got a lot of work to do down here. Who do you think we should send? Right? And then we kind of overhear the conversation that God's in need of a few good men and women, children, you know, to help in the work. Do we raise our hand and say, me? If so, by that time, the only way we would ever have the courage to raise our hand is we have seen ourselves truthfully. That I am, on my own, incompetent, inadequate. I don't have the qualities to do this work on my own. Can't do it. So Lord, if you'll lead me, if you'll be my competence, I'll work with you.
I think only in our mess, like being an ex-addict and stuff, you know, like, I bumped my head against a brick wall so many times, I finally kind of learned, and then you're faced with that, where else can you go? I've tried to do it on my own, I've tried to be my own God for years, it did not work out, you know, so this has to be it, you know, someone's come to that end where it's just like, there's no other, I'll raise my hand, you know, I tried it, you know, absent of God, I tried it. With all my power, with all my knowledge, just I can do it. I don't have the strength. And I think that's when we rely on the rock. And I think that, for me, that's like one of the most manly things you can do is say, look, I don't got what it takes. You know, without the shoes, I can't do it. You know, so stepping up and admitting that in a society where this macho, you know, to mm-hmm. say, like, look, I don't got it. You know.
So it's one of those things from St. Augustine, you know, without God, I cannot. Without me, God will not. Right? So it's kind of that partnership. But you're right. I think sometimes before we begin a spiritual formation, we do see ourselves as going to be masters of our own creation, trying to take control or attempting to control all aspects of our environment. So that my vision for myself can come to fruition. And I think when you've been stripped of everything, you realize, you're a creature, I'm creator, and I have the vision.
I think Mark hit it head on where it's like, the longer you live for yourself, like we go on being people pleasers in that image, and then we try to master our own creation and stuff like that, controlling everything and people, because I want Mark to look at me a certain way. And once you're stripped of all that, like, they're God pleasing, not people pleasing. Like, I don't care what anybody thinks. You don't have to co-sign. I'm doing what, you know what I mean? Like, I don't mm-hmm. need your, it's cool, it's a bonus when people pat you on the back, tell you a good job, but it's like, I don't need it. And even on the other side, when they say negative things, it's like, you know, I know me. It doesn't matter, you can't move me, you know? So that's the beautiful thing, right? That's the Jesus thing. You're free from even what you think of yourself.
Do you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I think, you know, a part of, you know, us as in our addiction and our transformation, and we are like babies having to learn how to live the godly way. We are, how should I say it, You know, it's a choice. It's you know, because I know I've lived for so many years in that world of, like Jack said, I don't care what you think about me, man. I'm a roll. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like that. It's not, you know, the godly way, the loving way. It's not, it's stepping up and being accountable and God showing you the awareness of you know, doing the right thing. It's hard. It's hard to do, but you have to make a choice to do that, you know, if you want a different way. It's like, how can we do the same thing, expect a different result? It don't happen.
All right.
We have to change the game, like you said, you know. The game is the same, but the players change. You know, so God's in your life, you know what I mean? And people influence you, like you and Tim and other brothers, senior brothers here, you know, where, you know, they pull you off the side and say, hey, brother, you know what I mean? Your verse or whatever, but we learn, but it's hard.
It is hard. Yeah, I think when Jesus comes in the Sermon on the Mount, he kind of gives us this little antithesis. He doesn't make the law easier to live by. He actually makes it harder. I mean, it's an eye for an eye is one thing, you know, but to love your enemy is harder. All right, well, thanks, Mark, for selecting that scripture for us today. And, gentlemen, I appreciate your insights on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and, of course, our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.